The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, all? Aaron, but not that Aaron, here to tell you about SifPop Writer's Room. For the past several years, there have been a growing amount of writers for SifPop.com providing best ever challenges, movie reviews, themes, legacies, connections, and so much more. SifPop Writer's Room is where that all comes together, giving a voice to those words that you read. And on the show, every week is excellent, getting to chat such a wide variety of movies with a wide variety of movie lovers, and I'm really having a lot of fun with the show, and I just think that you would too. So check out SifPop Writer's Room wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll see you over there. Just remember to knock first.
Today's guest is one of the best voices in Christian music, in my humble opinion.
Corey Mann.
What else with Corey Mann? On the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
As we record this, Mac Powell comes to me from the back porch of his wonderful home in Georgia.
Corey Mann.
Clock is ticking. I only get a little bit of time with you. Are you ready to go?
Always ready to go with you, Corey.
So many notes. So many notes.
I was hoping this would be off the cuff.
You know, I heard an off-the-cuff recently, and I respect Mac Powell way too much. Question number one, the Grammy for Come Together 2001, where currently is it?
I'm outside right now on my front little porch area. It's across that wall inside my little, we call it the library. There's a piano in there up on a top shelf. Very dusty right now, I would probably guess.
You don't clean the awards?
Hey, you know what? Let's do this. We're friends. I can do this.
Here we go.
I'm gonna go inside. Let's hope that this is going to be okay. Walking in the house. Here's my little library area. Oh, boom. Look, there they are. The four Grammys. And you got numerous Dove Awards all over the place. You know, those little things. Let me see what else here. Let's see, up there at the top shelf, that's the American Music Award. And then some ASCAP awards. There's a picture of me.
Is that Bono?
It might be. Anyway, that's some president, George Bush. And then the really the best of all these, you know, and I love the Grammy Awards, the Dove Awards, American Music Awards, ASCAP Awards, on and on, all those wonderful things. This is the thing. I'll show you two things.
Okay.
This is my Waffle House Toonie Award. Best crossover album for Back Again from 2019. So that's my Waffle House Award. It's one of my favorites. And then the thing of all those awards, you know, those things, they'll fade with time. Those are things that are temporary. They're fun to get. They're, you know, it's honor. But that stuff's not going to last forever. This is the thing that really... Right here, the Mac Powell bobblehead. That will live on forever, Corey.
Do you write songs in that room?
I'm sure that there's been some writing in that room. It's not a room that I sit down and go, this is I'm going to write a song today, but I'm sure there's been some writing in there, yeah.
Hometown, Clanton, Alabama. Take me inside a young Mac Powell bedroom. Are there posters? Are there sports flags? What am I looking at?
There's not a lot hanging on the wall. It's a gray fake, what's a fake wood paneling, grayish. It's a little room that's probably a 9x9 room. Not a lot of posters. Now, that being said, I was a big baseball fan, big Alabama football fan, a big pop music fan. At that time in Clanton, I moved to Atlanta when I was a sophomore in high school. So at that time, I'm listening to Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, the Fat Boys, my first, you know, introduction into rap, New Edition, R&B group I loved. So I was all into pop stuff. Previously, before that, a bunch of country stuff. You know, I had this mix of pop and rock, and like my parents had a, my dad was in the Army, so we lived in Taiwan. So my parents got records for cheap in Taiwan, you know, the black market. So they had stacks and stacks of records. So anything they listened to that I was listening to, like 60s and 70s stuff. So singer-songwriter stuff like Jim Croce and James Taylor and Elton John. And my dad's favorite band was Creedence Clearwater Revival. So I was mixing all the 60s and 70s, Beatles, Rolling Stones, with this pop music. Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, all this stuff that I loved. It all got mixed up. Then some country stuff like Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. All of Kenny Rogers, Ronnie Milsap. Pop music is called pop because it's popular. So anything that was popular, whether it was rock or pop or whatever, country, I was mixing it all together. And that comes out in what I do now, I think. You may not get as much of that R&B, hip-hop thing that I had when I was a kid, but there's definitely elements of it in there.
Would you be categorized as a military brat?
No, not at all. Not at all. My dad got drafted. Check out, my dad was, it was amazing. He quit school when he was 16. His mom left when he was early, so he got raised by his dad, so he basically did anything he wanted to. Quit school at 16, was a long-haired hippie, wanted to be, you know, doing music, then got drafted into Vietnam. So right away, he was going to move to Canada because he was going to dodge the draft, but he ended up not. He got married to my mom, who was in high school. She was a senior. They got married during her spring break of her senior year. He was 20. She was 18. Right after that, he gets drafted to go to Vietnam. I'm born 9 months after they got married. My sister is born 10 months after that. So in a matter of about 2 years, he went from this long-haired hippie living in a van down by the river to being in the military in Taiwan with two kids. And his life changed drastically and dramatically. But he was only in for 4 years, I think. Thankfully, he didn't have to fight in Vietnam. They had called all the troops back. But we ended up in Taiwan, moved around a lot. So, but no, I was not, I was too young. I was, I think, from birth to about four. So I wasn't really a military brat, no.
My dad was in the Air Force, and I was a handful growing up. And so there was a lot of talk you should probably join the military. Did you hear any of that talk?
No, if I did, it was only because we were kind of poor and didn't have money for me to go to college. So there was that thought of course, I was like a little skinny kid. I was like, man, I'm going to get eaten up if I go in the military. I remember being a sophomore. We had just moved to Atlanta. I was a sophomore, and some military choir came and sang at the school. I think it was, I don't know if it was Air Force or Army. They came, and I thought, well, maybe I can do that. I can play music in, you know, some sort of band in the Army, or I can sing. And so I thought, there's a chance for this. And, you know, I ended up not doing that, going to school instead. But I don't think I would have done well. I say that, but I really respect people in the military. I think I would have done well, but you never know.
What did nuclear hoedown sound like?
Terrible. We were terrible. Like, just take, I mean, we're pretty similar in age. So we listened to, you know, I know you were into the metal and the hard rock stuff. There was a season where I was into that stuff. So anything, when I was a senior, I graduated in 91. So anything that was in that whole picture, like if you were seeing Darius Rucker or Travis Tritt sing songs by Rat or Cinderella. So it's like, it just doesn't make sense, you know? I was so thankful when Pearl Jam came out, because here's a guy with a baritone voice. When Hootie and the Blowfish came out, when Travis Tritt came out, I was like, oh, here's some baritone singers. And I don't have to sing like this to be on the radio, you know? I could never do that. actually learned how to sing harmony because I would sing on the radio. I couldn't sing along so high, so I'd take the lower third and sing along. That's how I learned how to sing harmony, was singing to, you know, heavy metal stuff on the radio.
What did you hear or who did you see that made you go, I think I can do that? Like, can you pinpoint it?
I've never thought about that. I'm sure. I think fast forward from your question, I remember seeing Rich Mullins in concert. Now, we'd already done Nuclear Hoedown. We moved on. We were actually third day at the time. When I saw Rich, that's when I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do Christian music. I love that he can share about his faith. He was very organic. It was like acoustic guitars, and he had a full band, but it wasn't loud. It was like very singer-songwriter. You know, I don't even know if he had a drummer, but people were playing percussion. So it was just like this hodgepodge of a lot of stuff. I said, that's what I want to do. That's it right there.
Can you pinpoint, Mac, a moment when you knew that you knew that you knew, I want to sing about Jesus?
I remember that not the exact moment. I remember the season. I grew up in church, always wanted to be in a rock band, and finally was in Nuclear Hoedown. And we were terrible, but we thought we were going to conquer the world, right? I was about to graduate high school. I sit down on the edge of my bed, and I needed some direction. Even though I grew up in church, I didn't really read the Bible that much, hardly ever at all. You know, I would read some verses at church and listen to the message there, but it was very, very separated. I had my church life, and then I had my normal life, and the two didn't hardly cross at all. And I sat down on the edge of my bed 2 weeks before I'm supposed to graduate high school and said, I need some direction. I don't know what I'm going to do. If I got to join the military, we can't really afford for me to go to college, all this stuff. Somebody in church had said, read the book of Romans. So I started reading that, and God's spirit just kind of filled me. I started understanding truly for the first time what it meant to surrender to God, or at least trying to understand that. And I went to Mark Lee, who I started third day with. We were in Nuclear Hoedown together and, you know, a couple of garage bands. And I said, I'm going to quit. Here's something I've always wanted my whole life. I'm finally in a band, and now God's asking me to quit. And he's like, why are you doing that? I said, well, I just want to live my life for God. He said, well, why don't we start a Christian band? I was like, cool, what's that? I have no idea. I had heard about Petra. I knew about Amy Grant and Michael W. because of their pop stuff. But I didn't know any Christian music besides hymns and some Southern gospel stuff. And so we went out, he and I drove. I remember clear as day, we were gonna go see Amy, who was my girlfriend at the time, ended up being my wife. We just celebrated 25 years of marriage. Thank you. We went to this record store and I'd read a CCM magazine because I got it at a Joshua's bookstore. And I'd read about this band called White Heart. And I heard White Heart was good. So I went to get a White Heart record tape, and they didn't have White Heart, they had White Cross. So I said, all right, well, that's cool. Well, that sounds close enough, and put it in. It was a record called In the Kingdom, and it just rocked my world. And hearing that, Mark and I remember putting the tape in his car and just us looking at each other, and it starts out like, wow, electric guitar wailing. We were like, holy crap. There's people like singing about Jesus doing this kind of music. And so even though that's very different than Rich Mullins, that was pre me knowing Rich Mullins, I still loved that rock stuff, heavy rock stuff, and the singer-songwriter stuff. You know, I wanted to do it all. And so this is a long answer, Corey. I like to talk. You're going to have to edit.
We're good.
I went from White Cross to Rich Mullins to Stephen Curtis Chapman to Bride. Do you remember Bride?
Yes.
Golly, just incredible band. You know, a bunch of like the choir. The choir was the first, Steve Hendelong, Derry Daugherty, that was the first Christian alternative record I ever heard. Amy had made me a copy of their record, and I was like, this is really cool. There wasn't a lot of Jesus talk, but there was spiritual talk in it. And I was like, okay, those kind of things started. Then Michael W., you know, was on pop radio, and that was opening up my eyes to what I could do in Christian music.
We have to ask third day questions or they'll pick it, okay? Lightning round. Here we go. My favorite third day album is?
Time. It was our third album.
My favorite third day song?
I've Always Loved You from the Time album.
Outside of the third day circle, I loved working with?
There's a long list, Corey. Corey Mann.
One song that got looked over or got away?
That's a great, I love that question because there's a lot of them. There was a song called You're Everywhere. I forget which record was on. I remember writing the song. It was a worship song. And I went, this song is going to just take over. The revival will break out around the world. And I don't think anybody ever heard the song.
If we don't play this song live, the Gomers will riot.
There's a bunch of songs, so I don't know. There's songs you would think that they would riot to, but those are the Gomers are the ones who like they try to overlook the God of Wonders and Soul on Fire. They like that stuff, but they kind of get tired of that. They want the obscure stuff. So I would say Thief.
Our loudest, rowdiest fans are from
Dallas, Texas.
My favorite Third Day tour was?
We did a tour with Michael W. Smith and Max Licato called Come Together and Worship, and that was an amazing tour.
The peak of our success was at this particular point.
There were a few years in there, so it's hard to pick, but what started the peak was definitely the Offerings record, which was a record. Oh, this lightning round. I can't go into it. So Offerings.
You can go into it.
Offerings was a record, which is so interesting. Things are so different now. Offerings was a worship record. Half of it was live from previous songs we had done, the worship songs from previous records, and half of it was, you know, five or six new songs. The record company did not want us to do the record. Because it was a worship record, they thought, nobody wants to listen to that. And we had so many fans going, loving the worship section of our concerts. So many people were going, y'all should do a record like that. And, it wasn't new. Petra had done a worship record. A bunch of artists had done worship records. But at the time, worship was, you thought of that like Maranatha. It was like that was the old folks listen to that. And so when we made our worship record, it opened up eyes of a lot of fans who thought, oh, Third Day, that's her. I've heard of them. That's the band my kids listen to. That expanded the range of the age of people that listen to our music. Because I think it had that worship title and they went, I'll try that. And that really blew up for us.
I knew it was time for something new when?
Man, how can I say this nicely? When the record label started referencing other artists they wanted us to sound like and make records like.
All right, imagine, if you will, the movie Jerry Maguire. And you are in your hotel room and you're wearing your favorite Alabama shirt, and it's the middle of the night, and you decide to write a mission statement. What is the mission statement say for this next season solo career?
This is not the answer you're looking for. But I would say the mission is for me to continue to enjoy and be thankful for being here and not get caught up in where's the single charting and how many record sales are there and all that business side of stuff. When I say that, there's nothing wrong with it's, you have to think about those things, but I don't want to get caught up in those things again. I'm happy to be making music.
Is the solo project, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to make radio songs. I'm going to make church songs. You pick.
I think there's a truth to both sides. There's like, because when I went to make this record, I'd never left Christian music. I was continuing to do Christian concerts. I was continuing to, play at festivals and things like that. But it was good to get a break. It was good to not worry about, to know that, hey, this record, the music that I'm making now, this is previous to the album I have now. It was good to go, hey, there's not going to be radio singles from this. There's especially not going to be any Christian radio singles from this. I'm just making music that I want to make and then be happy with it. And so it was good to be in that season to not have to think about radio. But at the same time, it's good to finally be back in it and be wanting to make music that's going to reach more people, to have a team behind me. So I've gotten a chance of kind of combining both, of being able to think ahead and think about What is it that's missing at radio? I've even texted you. We've talked. What is it people want to hear? What are people looking for? So to kind of do that research, to not just be making whatever, but to be intentional about it. But at the same time, we'll always have I'm not going to make something that I don't like. So there's going to be study and there's going to be thinking through things, but it's always going to come from the heart anyway.
Two more questions. First one's personal. How's your wife, Amy?
Thank you for asking. She's doing great. You would never know if you had a conversation with her. You would never know that almost 2 years ago she had a brain aneurysm. Could have died. You know, could have had some long-term things happening, but to this point, no long-term physical or mental deficiencies. She's completely normal, and I'm super, super thankful.
When I started this podcast back in 2018, you were guest number 3.
Wow.
April 9th, 2018, and now we are 130 plus episodes in. I'm going to ask you something I've yet to ask anyone, and only because you and I are friends. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Yeah. Yes. The thing I was going to ask you is, it's been 3 years. Did I do such a terrible job on episode 3 that you're like, we're going to give this guy some time. We're going to let him mature. We're going to let him maybe get some education. We'll come back to him in 3 years. Was I that bad?
Yes, that's exactly the reason why we never invited you back.
We'll be back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that when we went to do, I'm not sure if we talked about this. I'm sure we did. When I went to do the farewell tour, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do a farewell tour because to me that was like that. There was something about it. I just wanted to kind of fade off into the distance. And I'd already moved on and started doing some other solo stuff. So it was hard for me to stop that ball rolling and go back to this thing that I'd already left. It took so long to leave that once I left, I didn't want to go back. But in the fall of 17, Tom Petty dies. I'm walking around the house just in a daze, and my wife, and it just kind of depressed, and I never use that word. I'm usually very happy kind of guy no matter what's happening. And Amy, my wife, said, what's going on? Why are you? I said, well, my friend died. And I'd never met Tom Petty, never spent any time with him, but he was my friend. And I was really just rocked by that. And so a couple of weeks later, Amy calls me up. She's in the middle of something. I'm in the middle of something. She said, I know you don't want to hear this, but I think you should do a farewell tour. She said, the way you feel about Tom Petty, even though Third Day's not dead, you know, people are going to feel that way. They're going to feel the way you feel about losing him. And so I went, okay, I'll think about it. Prayed about it, called Mark, and just went, let's have a conversation. And so that kind of went into the, so I honestly didn't want to do it. And I'm glad that we did. I'm glad it gave people a chance to come see us one more time. And I think, I don't be surprised if we do something down the road. We'll never get together as a band and that's what we do full time again. But don't be surprised if we do a little tour here and there every once in a while.
Ty, David, Mark calls and says, let's do 2 weeks. You're open to that?
Big time. Would love to. Would be a blast. I think it just has to be in the right season, the right time. I want to do that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how awesome is this new solo record?
11.
11.
11.
It's called 11. I feel good about this. We've
I feel great about it. But you know what? It's interesting when you've been around as long as I have, as we have, Corey, and you go back and you look. There's times I'll go back and listen to records, Third Day records, or things that I've made, even solo stuff. And I go, there are songs where you go, man, this is nowhere near as good as I thought it was. It's good to get away from it and to reapproach it. And then there's times you listen to something, you go, oh man, I forgot. This is really great. And so you try to, when you've learned that, you try to not get too excited about a project, but I can't help but feel great about these songs and just the possibilities. But we'll see, you know, it's not up to me. So we'll see what everybody else, I love it. We'll see if everybody, it's kind of like Tom Petty said, you know, if I like it, there's going to be somebody else that likes it. So hopefully a lot of people like it. I love you, Corey, man. I'll go on record saying that.
I love you, Mac Powell. I mean that. I was going to give you my top five Third Day songs, but we'll save that for the next time.
No, I want to hear it now. Quickly, go ahead.
40 Days.
Nice.
Slow Down with Daughtry.
Tell me to slow down. Love that one.
Lift Up Your Face.
Lift Up Your Face. Yeah, written with Need to Breathe guys.
Kicking and Screaming.
All right. You like the rock stuff. I should have known.
And a song that I thought got away from us, Our Deliverer.
Thank you, Corey, man. Our Deliverer is coming. I may redo that one. I love that song.
Bring it back,
yes,
Mac.
Sir. Thank you for that top five.
Have a great rest of the day. We'll talk soon, all right?
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Leave some feedback. Write a review. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Bye, Corey Mann. Yeah.